Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We glorify your name. Bolalama salamari elena masanto. Ora la Maria Elena Massino Maranama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Kurala massa la Maria Elena Massanto. Ora la Maria Elena Massaya Namarama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Ora la massa la Maria Elena ma. Ora la Maria Elena ma santo. Ora la Maria Elena ma sino ma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you because you are leading us forward so that we can take hold of everything for which you've taken hold of us. So we thank you for the wisdom and revelation that your Spirit brings, that you guide us into the truth. Lord, we really want to understand the truth this morning so that we know how to move forward with you. So we thank you for the precious anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of faith, and we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit and Word are going to work together in our hearts and lives today, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I can be seated. Right, now, it's important for us all to understand what God is doing with us at present, because day by day we need to keep in the flow of what he's doing and not sort of do our own thing, because it's going to be very important for us to be moving ahead together as a body. Let's turn, first of all, to Romans chapter 5, in the truth. We come then to this wonderful conclusion. This is ringing a bit. Can you try to stop it? Thanks. We have been brought back into right relationship with God and made completely acceptable to him through our faith in Jesus Christ. Through him, we now have peace with God, and all the blessings of his grace are made available to us by means of our faith. We stand daily in the flow of God's free gifts to us, and we can rejoice that a greater revelation of his glory awaits us. This is our sure and certain hope. Now, I was talking to the first-year students on Friday about grace. You do not fight to receive anything from God. You must understand that. We are not fighting God, and God is not resisting us. Everything that comes from God is a gift of his grace. Grace is what God gives. You do not have to fight for a gift. So we must avoid praying in such a way that it sounds as if we're fighting for something that God wants to give us. We're not fighting for anything that God wants to give to us. All that God wants to give to us is a work of his grace. Therefore, all you have to do is to believe to receive it, not fight. We're not fighting God. God is not fighting us. God is not resisting us. God has given us wonderful promises about what he wants to gift to us. But if you start fighting for a gift, you don't receive it, because you're not actually trusting in God's grace. So, our position always is faith in his grace. Now, we need to overcome the enemy. But we don't overcome the enemy by fighting the enemy. Are you breathing? You see, what has God been doing with us these last few weeks? He talked to us about the victory that is in the blood. Now, if the victory is in the blood, the victory has been won. No fighting on our part can add to the victory that Jesus has already won. And we saw that that victory is in the blood. So, how is the enemy overcome? By trusting in the victory of the blood. We say in our Christian language, by applying the blood. By taking hold of the victory that Jesus has won, and by applying it. Again, if we make it out that we are fighting to overcome the enemy, we are not trusting in the victory of the blood. We're saying, no, there's something we've got to do to overcome the enemy. But what does the scripture say? Submit yourself to God. Then you resist the devil and he flees. Now, if you submit yourself to God, you submit to what he says. You submit to what he's done. And he flees. Are you breathing? Yeah. You have died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You have died. Let me ask you, can a dead man fight? You see, the mistake that we can so easily make is to think we've got to fight. We've got to overcome. We've got to do something to get the breakthrough. Whereas, of course, Jesus has already done everything that is needed for the breakthrough. Now, in recent months, we've had various points of breakthrough. And when Christians break through, they think, that's it. But actually, you haven't done anything. And you haven't gained anything. A breakthrough does not enable you to enter in and receive anything. There's no tapping into the grace of God for the breakthrough. What is a breakthrough? A breakthrough is removing the obstacles so that now you can take possession. But if you get the breakthrough and don't take possession, the breakthrough is wasted. And so often what we tend to do, either personally or corporately, is we get a breakthrough, but we don't take possession. Because we think the breakthrough is the victory. No, all the breakthrough has done is to remove the obstacles so that now we can advance. But having got the breakthrough, if we don't advance, we've wasted the breakthrough. But you don't advance by fighting. You advance by depending upon grace. You advance by receiving. God's been talking to us about taking our Jerichos. Well, Jericho was given into the hands of God's people. They didn't take it. They didn't fight. They went off and fought against Ai and lost. Because they didn't even consult the Lord. There wasn't any dependence upon him. Now, you've got a visual demonstration in front. I want you to say, look, the inheritance that we want to lay hold of is at the back of the platform here. But musicians being what they are, they've put up a barrier and you can't get there. Now, you see, if we want to enter in and take possession, the barrier's got to be removed. What are the barriers? Well, the barriers are the impediments that the enemy wants to put in the way in order to try to prevent us from entering in and taking possession. So, if we get rid of the barrier, the way is open, but we've still got to take possession. To say, you know, well, we had a breakthrough this time or that time, fine, but now we take possession. How do you take possession? By faith in God's grace, not by fighting. Are we there? Now, what I was showing some of you on Friday is what the scripture says about where we need to be personally when we pray so that we can lay hold of our inheritance by faith in his grace. So turn for a moment to 1 John, chapter 3. What's going to happen in the next few weeks is all the obstacles, all the barriers are going to be pulled down, but we're also going to advance and enter in and take possession. Is that all right? So by the time we go to faith camp, we have already taken possession. And therefore, we will enable many others to enter in and take possession for themselves. Well, it's good to know where the Lord's going to lead us, isn't it? Okay, now in chapter 3, verse 21. My dear friends, if there is nothing in our hearts to make us feel condemned, we can have confidence before God when we pray, and so are able to receive from Him anything we ask. Right, now that's the first thing we need to understand. When we pray, we need confidence. When we come against those barriers, and we'll talk about that in due course, we need to have the confidence that they're going to be demolished. So Jesus teaches the disciples to speak to the mountains, command them to move, but he says you must believe in your heart that they will be removed when you speak to them. If you don't believe that, you don't have the confidence that is needed, the faith, if you will, when you pray. So what John is saying is you need to be confident of the outcome. What I was explaining to you on Friday is confidence in prayer has got nothing to do with prayer. Read on. What does he say next? Where does this confidence come from? This is because we are living in obedience to his commands and doing what pleases him. See, the NIV says, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Disobedience robs you of your confidence. If you know that there's something going on in your life that doesn't please God, it robs you of your confidence in prayer. Because prayer is a relationship. You're not praying to a far-off, distant God. You're praying to a God in whom you live and move and have your being. You're praying in the power of the Spirit of God who lives within you. You are praying in relationship. So the first thing that needs to be right when you pray is your relationship with God. Right. Now, that doesn't mean that you begin in a self-analytical way. It just means that your walk with God needs to be one of obedience. And doing what pleases Him is giving yourself to Him. So that you don't even have to wait for him to tell you to do something. You know that you need to do it, so you do it. See, it's a life of giving, because we want God to give back to us by his grace. So we're already living a life given to God for his purposes, to live in obedience, to live given and yielded to him and to his will. Now, if you're living like that, you have confidence. It's not that you're earning the answer. The answer is still a gift of grace. It's just that when you're in right relationship with God, you have confidence in his grace. When there's something wrong in your relationship with God, you might not put it in this way, but actually your heart is really saying, why should God be gracious to me when all this other stuff is going on? And actually, you can spend your life, your prayer life, trying to deal with issues because you know things aren't right. You're doing something that isn't right. And that's what takes over in your prayer time. Fighting against something that shouldn't be happening anyway, because you won't let it die. Once we have died to something that isn't God's will, it's not an issue. It only remains an issue if we don't let it die. So, you know, I'll just give you an obvious example. Somebody can be fighting about a relationship, you know, which, you know, it's not the right time to form such a relationship. Well, let it die, and it won't be an issue. But you see, if you don't let it die, it'll be an issue and it'll take over your prayer life, and you'll have no confidence before God when it comes to the real issues about which you need to be praying. As I explained, you see, we tend to divide ourselves into departments. This is my prayer department. It's got nothing to do with whatever else is going on in the rest of my life. But God says, well, I don't see it like that. I don't see you as a department store. I see you as a person. And what I hear is the person praying. So it's not the words. He looks upon the heart. He sees what's going on in the heart. Is there confidence in the heart? Is there the real expectation that I will give by my grace? Or are there all sorts of caveats because you know things aren't really right? You're breathing. So we love obedience, not only because that glorifies God, but because it gives us confidence. Disobedience destroys your confidence. Pleasing yourself, instead of doing what pleases Him, destroys your confidence in prayer. It undermines your confidence. So then you're trying to be confident in prayer, and it sounds, you know, you can sound confident because you've got the right words and you're making enough noise, especially when we're praying together. But that doesn't mean that there's the confidence inside that says, well, it's a done deal. Anybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? Okay, so if you go on to chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 14, so you can have great confidence when you come before God in prayer. You can be sure that if you ask anything according to His revealed will, He certainly hears you. And if you're confident that He hears what you say, no matter what you ask, you can be sure that you have whatever you've asked of Him. You see, there's this word confidence again. Confidence is the essential ingredient in prayer. It's what praying with faith really means. It's praying with confidence. It's praying with expectation that what you are actually praying is going to happen. In fact, Jesus says, you believe that you have received it. That's confidence. To believe that you have already received what you can't even see is confidence. And that's the kind of confidence that God wants us to have. Now, you can't talk about need and have confidence. You can't talk about lack and have confidence. Because you're talking about the negative one moment and trying to be positive the next. So this is where your ordinary conversation has to line up with your prayer conversation. Even when you're about to pray, or even when you're at a prayer meeting, or even if you're leading a prayer meeting and you talk about lack, you've undermined the faith of the people, even though you then try to get people into a place of faith. Because what you've actually said is we have lack instead of we have provision. You see, what is lack? Lack is an obstacle. Or rather, let me put it this way. That mentality is an obstacle. You see, the thing that God wants to do more than anything else at this moment is to change everybody's mindsets. He wants to change our mindsets from a fighting mindset to a receiving mindset. And a receiving mindset is actually a confident mindset. See, it sounds confident to say, look, here's a need. If we fight, we're going to get the answer to the need. No, you never get the answer to a need by fighting, because the answer to every need is Jesus, and we can only receive from Jesus by grace, never by fighting. So, you see, this is why I've never, ever been happy about praying for money or anything like that, because what God says is if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else is going to be added to you. In other words, if you've got your mindset set in the right place, then you're going to receive, not fight. That's why I've never been happy with the phrase spiritual warfare. I've always used the phrase spiritual victory. Why? Because what we're doing is trusting in the victory of Jesus Christ that has already taken place, the victory that is already in the blood. We're not fighting to achieve something. We're simply taking hold of the victory that has been won and applying it. Because if you fight, you can't fight in the spirit, you're fighting in your natural self. And that's supposed to be dead. You've died to that self. We don't have to fight into the spirit, in the spirit, for what the spirit has already accomplished. Praise God. So God wants to get us out of, we've got to fight to attain and achieve our objectives. He wants to get rid of that mentality and say the only way we can achieve our mentalities is by faith in God's grace. And I believe one of the things he's been waiting for us to do is to stop fighting and start believing. Just to really start trusting in his grace. Because you see, what Paul is saying to the Romans is we're standing in his grace. And according to that grace, he has given us all things. You don't have to fight for what he's given. And according to my Bible, he has already blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. You don't have to fight to be healed. You simply have to receive your healing. Now, we have to exercise the spiritual authority and power that God has given us over the enemy. But that isn't fighting the enemy, that's overcoming the enemy. It's taking the victory of that blood and applying it. You don't fight demons, you command them. It's not your business to fight the devil. That's God's business. Our business is to trust him, and he will enable us to have the victory over the enemy, no matter what the situation is that we're in. We have to resist him and resist what he's wanting to do. Are we getting this? Right, let's turn then to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's just have a look at the pulling down of strongholds. Question is, where are these strongholds? If you don't know where they are, you can't overcome them. Okay, so verse 3 of chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. True, we live in this world, but we do not fight our battles as people who belong to the world. We have other weapons to fight with, not those of the world. By contrast, our weapons have God's power that shatters the enemy's strongholds that oppose us. With the weapon of truth, we demolish rational arguments that oppose the walk of faith. We have the answer to every false way of thinking that seeks to undermine the truth about God. Where are these strongholds? They're in your thinking. That's where the enemy seeks to establish a stronghold in getting Christians to have wrong thinking. You see, if you're fighting an imaginary battle, you're wasting all your spiritual energy, and the devil's laughing. Because you're fighting a battle that actually Jesus has already won. Are we breathing? So what we need is the right mindset. Now, we have to exercise that authority to come against the enemy. To do that, you need the same mindset that is able to inherit. You don't have one mindset for overcoming the enemy and the obstacles he seeks to put in your path, and then another mindset for entering in and taking possession of the inheritance that you have in Christ. It's the same mindset for both. Very interesting if I asked you to tell me what that mindset was, but we don't have all day, and it might take that before we got the right word. Now, as soon as I tell you what this is, you have got to really seriously ask yourself if this is the mindset you're living with at this moment. Now, as soon as I tell you what it is, you'll know that it's the mindset that you ought to be living with at the moment. But that's not what I said. Is this the mindset that you have? That every day, this is the mindset that lies behind what you pray, the way you relate to God, and what is going on in your life. You see, I see both. And then I see a settling back into a different mindset. And that is going to rob us of actually entering into the inheritance unless we get that straightened out in our thinking. So what is this right mindset? You don't want to know, do you? It's a mindset of advance.
Come on. Yes.
We advance against the enemy, and he cannot withstand us.
We advance into the promised land and take possession of everything that God has promised. It's a mindset of advance. I'm advancing. Every day I'm advancing. Every day I'm moving forward. I am not static. I'm not resting. There is no rest because the devil won't rest. If you rest, he'll put another obstacle there. Then you've got to break through again. And that's what happens. We get a breakthrough. Everybody settles down and say, wasn't that great? Wasn't that right? And we don't advance, and then the enemy puts some more obstacles in the way, and you've got to break through those. No, we've got to have a constantly maintained advancing mentality. That's the faith mindset. Advance. And you see, if you have that mindset, it doesn't matter what obstacles the enemy tries to put there. The obstacles cannot stop the advance. And if you keep advancing, he doesn't have time to put other obstacles in the way because you keep advancing. You settle down and have a rest. It gives him the opportunity to build another obstacle. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? So you see, where the victory begins is in your mentality. A victory mindset is an advancing mindset.
Yes.
See, if you don't have an advancing mindset, you start complaining about what the devil's doing. Oh, he's doing this, this is hard, this is difficult, I've got this problem, I've got that need, ba-bum, 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 and you're not advancing. Are you sure you're breathing this morning?
Yeah.
Now, what we need to do, you see, is not just have an occasional whip up to make everybody feel, yeah, we need to advance. We've got to advance daily. We've got to keep advancing. That every time, you know, we come here for an 8 o'clock, we're advancing.
Yes, amen.
So tomorrow we're going to advance. Thursday you can advance, even though the team is in there advancing.
Right.
But whatever we're doing, the word now is advance. Because you see, if you don't advance, you're not going anywhere. If you don't advance, either you're static or you're in retreat. And my Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd. We hear his voice and follow him, which means we must be advancing. So that means that Jesus is always advancing. And because we're following him in that advance.
Come on. Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. So with the weapon of truth, we demolish rational arguments that oppose the walk of faith. Now that means you oppose your own natural thinking. That means you oppose that thought, I can't advance. Or you oppose that thought, there's this obstacle in my way that's hindering me. There's nothing in your way to hinder you if you believe there's nothing in the way that can hinder you.
Very good.
You see, if the devil puts an obstacle in your way and you look at the obstacle, the devil then says to you, you can't get through, can you? This thing's stopping you, isn't it? And what does he want you to do? He wants you to get your eyes on the obstacle and so begin to rob your confidence. Because then the next line is, do you know if you were right with God, that obstacle wouldn't have been in the way. The devil wouldn't have been able to put it there. And he's the one and he's telling you this, and he's the one that put it there. But he's a liar, he's a deceiver. He's an accuser of the brethren. So we don't listen to our natural thinking. We listen to our advanced thinking. Because that's God's language. Hallelujah. So we have the answer to every false way of thinking that seeks to undermine the truth about God. See, ultimately, our right thinking is dependent upon who God is. He is the God of grace. The throne is the throne of grace. Everything we receive comes by grace, not by fighting. If you fight, you have stopped believing in the God of grace. And you're saying, only if I fight hard enough will I get the answer. Never. You have the answer. And it's receivable by grace, by faith in His grace. Watch when he tells, well, he tells lots of good stories, but one of the good stories in one of his books said he was standing on a seashore, somebody was swimming out to sea and got into difficulties and was obviously drowning. And standing next to him was, on the beach, was this lifesaver. And this lifesaver just watched. He just watched this man for a while. And then it looked as if the man was just about to drown. And when he was just about to drown, this lifesaver dived in, swam out, rescued the man, and brought him back to the beach. And Watchman Nee said to this lifeguard, "Why didn't you dive in immediately and save him?" And he said, "Because if I did, I'd have had a really difficult job. I waited till he stopped fighting. Because while he was fighting, he would have fought my attempts to rescue him. But as soon as he gave up fighting, I knew the job could be done easily." Now, he was talking about salvation then, but you see there's a spiritual principle here. And so often we're fighting in our own strength, and God says, "Okay, I'll wait till you stop fighting, and then you'll start getting the right mindset. You'll trust me, you'll believe in my grace, and then it'll be a simple matter for me to rescue you." But while you think the battle is yours, then the battle is not the Lord's. But my Bible says the battle is the Lord's. Are we getting this? So it's getting this right, advancing mindset. The advancing mindset is a victorious mindset. Nothing can stop us. Whereas if you think, well, there's things I've got to constantly overcome, then you're saying, well, it's not going to be possible to advance because of this and because of that, and we've got to stop here, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do that, we've got to get rid of that obstacle and this problem and that need. That's not an advancing mentality. Are you breathing? So, it's very interesting here. We exercise authority in the way we think. You see, you've got to exercise authority in the way you think before you can exercise authority over the enemy. Because when you resist the enemy, you've got to come against the enemy with the right mental attitude. Are you breathing?
I keep asking because you're so sort of quiet there. We, mind you, it might be good if you all stopped and just died. Spiritually, I mean, of course. So we exercise authority in the way we think, denying negative or rebellious thoughts. Well, I'm sure you'll deny rebellious thoughts, but you need to deny negative thoughts. See, it's a negative thought to think, I've got to get the victory. That's a negative thought. That's not a positive thought. That's not a faith thought. That's a negative thought.
That's it.
Because it doesn't believe that you have the victory. According to my Bible, we have the victory. God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That he is always leading us in his triumphant procession. That means if I'm following Jesus, I'm always walking in triumph. Well, please yourself, but I believe it. So we deny every negative or rebellious thought and accepting only those that glorify Jesus so that we might obey him. Well, what does he tell us to do? Believe. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Believe. Love is a command. Faith working through love. It's a command. Believe. Love. Obedience comes out of faith, comes out of love. Paul talks about the obedience of faith. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. So a combination of faith and love leads to obedience. But we must be prepared to punish those who refuse to obey so that as a church we might be united in obedience. Wow. Few church leaders need to hear that, don't they? So important that as a body, we advance through faith and in the obedience of love. An interesting time of the second years yesterday, talking about what we really mean by the body of Christ. The body of Christ and the church are not the same. The body of Christ is not a name for the church. The body of Christ is a body of people. It's not an organization. It's not a structure. It's not a religion. It's a people who continue the ministry of Jesus in the world. The people who are now, presently, the body of Christ in this world. And how every one of us has our part to play, the ministry to fulfill, the call of God to obey in the part that God has assigned to us in the body. That no one of us can continue the ministry of Jesus, but as a body we can. All the different functions working together in unity. But you see, the body has to advance. You have to advance as a body. So this is not just getting an individual mentality of advance. There has to be a corporate mentality of advance. Now, the problem in any church is there's some that don't want to advance. They just want to be comfortable. But that's okay. You don't take any notice of that. You just advance nonetheless. Why? Because the body of Christ has to advance. If there's some hangers-on that don't want to advance, well, they're either going to have to change their mentality or they'll leave. But what you can't do is stop advancing just because some people don't want to.
That's true.
Kingdom Faith Church would be two or three times the size that it is now if everybody who'd been part of the church here had wanted to advance. But some people come, they stay, they get their needs met, they get blessed, they get built up, and then they decide, well, that's far enough for me, and they leave. Why? Because they don't want to advance. But what we need and what we have is a people who will advance.
Come on. Yes.
This is a year of advance. It's a year of lots of all kinds of other things, but if you sum it all up, all the different things that God has said, it means that this is going to be a year of advance. And any obstacles will just be swept out of the way, and we will enter in and take possession of what God has said is ours. And if it's ours, it's ours. We're not waiting for God to do something. We're advancing into the answer. So I think it's exciting. But as part of this whole process, we have got to sweep aside the obstacles. Because, you see, the enemy has a purpose. Now, I wonder how you would define the enemy's purpose as far as Kingdom Faith is concerned. What do you think the enemy's strategy is? You can actually sum it up very simply in one sentence. The enemy is dedicated to seeking to prevent Kingdom Faith from entering into the fulfillment of everything God has promised. That's his purpose. Actually, that's his purpose everywhere. Where there's a people that really want to honor God. It's his purpose in your life, personally. It's his purpose as far as the church is concerned, corporately. Now, if God has given promises, those promises are as good as done if we believe them. If we are advancing into the fulfillment of those promises. The devil says, don't advance. The devil tries to put obstacles in the way to prevent that advance because he knows that you can only enter into the fulfillment of what God has promised by advancing, by faith in his grace. You see, the advance isn't a battle. The advance is faith. It's a faith walk. It's dependence upon the grace of God. Are we getting this? So we have to exercise authority. I'm preparing something at present, something in writing, for us to see how we overcome the obstacles and then enter into the inheritance. So we've all got something in our hands that we can look at and not just hear the various series of inspirational words which try to, you know, make us feel, yeah, we can advance. But we just need to understand, we've got to have strategy. See, God is giving us strategy week by week. He says, right, how are you going to overcome the enemy? Only by the blood. See, he didn't talk to me about all this stuff 2 or 3 weeks ago when I talked about the blood. He just said, you talk about the blood, the victory in the blood. Then last week it was the division of soul and spirit. Why? Because if you start with the energy of the soul, you will not overcome the enemy and you will not enter into any inheritance. It's not by might or power, but only by his spirit. Now, what, and God, oh God, I mean, there was another week, wasn't there? Not only about the blood, but about the victory is in the praise. See, if the victory is in the praise, what do you do to get the victory? You praise. You don't fight, you praise. But it has to be praise with intention. See, I spoke about that for 2 or 3 days. Everybody was praising with intention. I sort of listened this morning and I couldn't hear any intention. I could hear praise, but not intention. Now, what we need, therefore, is to have the intention of advancing when we praise. You see, who went first? When the children of Israel entered in, it was the praisers. The singers, they went in, they went first, didn't they? Yes? It's the praise. But it won't, it's not just praising God, it's praising with intent. See, what is praising with intent? It's putting Jesus on the throne. I mean, he's on the throne, isn't he? But it's putting him on the throne in your heart, in your life, in the circumstances of today, in what is happening in the church today. It's saying he is on the throne. Nothing can stop him. Therefore, nothing can stop us. Because we're following him. He's the good shepherd. He's in charge. He's the head of the body. He's the one who is actually motivating, and he's the one that's strategizing the whole thing. We're just moving with him, and he doesn't know how to stop advancing.
Yes.
And you see, if we stop advancing, I think the Lord says, where are you? I'm advancing. What's happened to you? I'm moving ahead. What's happened to you? Where are you? Why are you lagging behind? Come on. We're going. Right through. Sweeping aside the obstacles, entering in, taking possession, seeing all the promises of God fulfilled. See, God doesn't want us just to believe the promises. Promises are given to be fulfilled, not just believed. So praise God. You're going to advance. Hallelujah. One of the biggest obstacles that the enemy puts in the way of God's people is lethargy. Just a lethargic attitude. Well, let's just sort of flow with it. Prayer time, yeah, I'll come have my prayer time. I'm better otherwise. My disciple or mentor will tell me off. 8 o'clock, yeah, well, I better come. It's time to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're in charge. Praise God. Lethargy. Oh, well, advance. I mean, I'm tired. I mean, all these lectures, all these meetings, all this work in the office. I mean, hours I'm in the office. And I'm tired. I just need a lethargy. You see, you know, we think, what are these great spiritual things that the enemy puts in the way? What are these great obstacles? And the Word of God says they're in you. They're not out there, they're in you. The wrong mentality. The lethargic attitude. That's the first battle that needs to happen, the battle within you. Are there spiritual things that oppose us? Of course there are. But you see, how can we come against those if we don't first of all get things sorted out within us? So that we have confidence. We come against these barriers with the authority of God and poof, they're no problem at all. Because of the confidence. Lethargic people aren't confident. They're just lethargic. Lethargic people don't ooze faith. How are you today? I'm okay. Not so bad. All right.
That's it.
Lethargy.
Yeah.
Hello? What does that mean? I got to be sort of on top form all the time? Yes. That's what it's about. Listen. One of the enemy's tactics is to use snipers. You know what a sniper is, you know? He's there in hiding and he's just ready to kill anyone who's lethargic. Because when you're lethargic, you're not on the watch. You're not alert. You're not looking for the enemy. You're just lethargic. And there he's got his snipers. There's another lethargic one. Oh, the enemy's having such a go at me. Well, you were lethargic. What do you expect? He's looking for the lethargic ones. Not interested in the up, you know, in those that are advancing. We'll keep away from them. But there's enough lethargic ones around to keep us occupied.
Right.
Demons, just go after the lethargic ones.
Yeah.
But praise God, we don't have any lethargic ones around here. I said we don't have any lethargic ones around here. Because we're all at the top of our game.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Talking about being at the top of our game, you know, we believe here. No, I said nothing about Arsenal. They're at the top of their game, but there's nothing about Arsenal. But, you know, you follow the example, don't you, in Christian things. So the student placement this year is up the top of Kilimanjaro. Is that right? Let me tell you something. The lethargic ones won't make it. I would join you, but I'm on holiday during that period of time. So. So another world record, you know, the biggest gig.
Yes.
On the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, where you've got 80 praising students. Hallelujah. Seated in heavenly places. I reckon some of you would be at the end. No, that's negative. We're advancing. Praise God. This is the season of advance.
That's true.
This is the season when nothing can stop us. See, that's the advancing mentality. Not nothing will stop us. Nothing can stop us. It's impossible for the enemy to stop what God is going to do in these coming weeks and months. Praise God. One more thing. Only a people of courage will advance. Why has God been talking to us about being bold and confident? Why in all the Joshua thing about crossing over was there that emphasis on being bold? Because only courageous people will advance. Lethargic people will want to turn back. You see, Moses led the people out of Egypt. As soon as they started encountering obstacles in the wilderness, many of them wanted to go back. That mentality of retreat. Well, it was better back there than it is here. It's a bit scary out here because we're having to go through problems. Now, you see, one of the things you discover is that with the advance, there comes the opposition. I mean, if you just camp, you're camped in front of the problem. You're not going anywhere, but you're camped in front of the problem. But as soon as you advance, you come against the obstacles, you come against the problems, you come against trouble.
Right. Very good.
But you see, you go through the trouble into the inheritance. And Jesus warned of this. He said, look, they'll hate you like they hated me. They'll oppose you like they oppose me. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. But you see, he was saying clearly, if you're going to advance, there's going to be trouble. But that's all right, you'll go through the trouble. The trouble will not be able to stop you. The trouble will not be able to hinder and prevent you from entering into the fulfillment of everything that I have promised. Why are people lethargic? Because they don't want any trouble. Why are they happy to camp in front of the problem? Because they don't want any trouble. Actually, they've already got so much trouble that they can't move. Why, when the trouble begins, do they want to retreat to get out of the trouble? Instead of understanding, if I get through this, there's victory, there's inheritance, there's all kinds of blessing. And how do you get through the trouble? By fighting? No, by following. Following the one who's leading us. Because we are in Christ's triumphant procession. So the main obstacles are within us, within our thinking. Get the thinking right, and everything else is going to fall into position, fall into place very, very easily. So we all got the right mentality. How do you know whether you've got the right mentality or not? Listen to yourself speak.
Absolutely. That's it. Right.
Because from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Just listen to the way you think.
Right.
What is a mentality? It's a way of thinking.
That's it.
Just listen to your thoughts. Have I got an advancing mindset? Have I got a victorious mindset? Or have I grown lethargic and lazy? Or I'll go with the flow, but there's no fight in me, really. I mean spiritual fight, you know, spiritual oomph. So what do? We stir up the gift within us, stir up the grace, stir up the anointing. Not fight in our own strength.
Stir up the gift. We have the victory through God's grace. Amen. Let's all stand. Oh, hallelujah. Just close your eyes, lift your hands. Thank the Lord that in your spirit you have the mind of Christ. Not in your soul, but in the spirit you have the mind of Christ. Now, because you have the mind of Christ, you have the right mentality somewhere inside you. You have the right mindset. You have Christ's mindset within you. Now, you want that mindset you have in the spirit to become the mindset in your soul, in your natural mind. So right now, you can just submit your natural thinking to the mind of Christ and say, Lord, I want your mindset in my life. Now you might need to say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me, I've become lethargic. I've just sort of been drifting. I don't know, that won't be true for everybody, but it may be true for some. Lord, I don't want to drift. I want to advance. Some of you may feel you've been camping in front of the obstacle, in front of the personal obstacle now I'm talking about. And you realize God has sent you, you've got to advance against that. But first you need the right mindset. You need confidence. Now if you realize there's anything been going on in your life that the enemy has been able to use to undermine that confidence, then put it right with God right now. If it's something you've got to let go of, if it's something that has to die, if you've been struggling and fighting in your own strength, like that drowning man trying to save himself, now's the time to give up. Give up in your own strength. Because you have confidence before God if you obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. So just thank the Lord for that confidence. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing in my life now that can undermine my confidence in you, my confidence in my ability to advance, my confidence that I can come against all the obstacles of the enemy and they will be swept aside, my confidence that I can enter into the inheritance and see all the promises that you've given me fulfilled. Thank you, Lord, for that confident, advancing mindset that you are putting into my life. Now, you can't advance while you're looking in on yourself. You can't advance while you're looking forward. You've got to, looking backwards. You can only advance as you're looking forward, as your eyes are fixed on Jesus. So you can thank the Lord that the answers aren't in yourself, the answers are in Him. Now, just pull down those strongholds of wrong thinking. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I just come against all those strongholds of wrong thinking, of just thinking in the natural, of just saying I can't or it won't or anything negative. I just come against all those things now in the name of Jesus. That is not my mindset. My mindset is now to see the mind of Christ coming forth in my life, in my actions, in my attitudes, in my thinking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the victory in your blood. Thank you that the enemy is not going to have any strongholds in my thinking. Now, thank the Lord you're not going to be sniped at because you're lethargic. Thank him that you're on the watch. You're on the alert. Hallelujah. Oh, you've got your defenses in place. You've got the sword of the Spirit in your hand, which is the Word of God. You're going forward. You're moving forward. You're not going to be one of the enemy's victims. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pora la bazata pariesito di sato bacarasito di sandoma. Balala la bazato bacarasito. Thank him that nothing can stop you advancing. Now, thank him that we advance as a body. I think we can do better than that. We're going forward as a body. We're all going to advance together. Everybody in Kingdom Faith. The lethargic ones will get dragged along until they too begin to get the advancing mentality. But we're going forward. Hallelujah. Pura la bazata paria zatu bakara sito di sato ba. Barata paria zatu bakara sito di sato bakara sito di sanduma. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Now, I just want you to just think for a moment, because we're going to pray about the grace of God. Have you been trying to get rather than to receive? Have you been trying to get an answer? Striving, straining, struggling. Have you had the mentality, I'm only going to get the answer if I fight hard? In which case you need to say, Lord, forgive me. I realize this morning it's by your grace and your grace alone that I can enter into my inheritance. Yes, I come against the enemy. But I don't have to come against you. And thank you, Lord, you're not against me, you're for me. Thank you that according to your grace, You have blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Lord, I want to believe in your desire to give to me every day. That the answer to whatever need has been in my life is your grace, not my fight, your grace. And I believe right now, Lord, in your grace. And according to your grace, I believe that I have received whatever I've asked for. I know, Lord, I don't have to keep on asking the same thing again and again. I just have to believe in your grace. When people came to Jesus to be healed, none of them fought. They received of his grace. Not by might or power. By my Spirit, says the Lord. That's grace. Because his Spirit is his great gift to us. So thank him that whatever the situation, you have the answer by his grace. Not you will receive the answer, but you have the answer. By his grace. Hallelujah. Now, maybe you see that the enemy has sought to put some obstacles in receiving because, you know, he's been trying to get you the wrong mentality. Putting other kinds of obstacles in the way. Well, praise is the sound of victory. So let's hear that shout of praise now. Oh, that was a lethargic effort. Come on, let's have a real, real praise now. Real rejoicing. Now, thank the Lord, you're not going to fight the enemy, you overcome the enemy. Amen. You're going to advance through every barrier. Hallelujah. Every barrier will be swept aside because you advance confident. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Purata parazito balato. Now, just turn to at least four people and say to them, I'm not lethargic, I'm confident. Now, just one more thing. Just say to them, now this is what the scripture says. You're going to say to them, nothing is impossible for me. All things are possible for those who have faith. Therefore, nothing is impossible for you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just give the Lord one big thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The only one who's troubled this morning is the devil. And I don't feel sorry for him. So praise God. Have a wonderful day of victory.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.